평양 FM 방송입니다.
It needs a little bit more static.
Are we live or what?
Yeah, yeah. That was North Korean radio. That was from Radio Pyongyang. I've never heard it before, but it's very recognizable. The style is recognizable. The language is obviously Korean. Needs more static. The stuff I play on my show, when I play North Korean music, it's got a lot of static. That's what you want to hear, the static.
Yeah, well, I sent you over that piece of Rachmaninoff. Obviously, you can do that at your own convenience, but I've got a nice bit of Rachmaninoff coming for a short clip in my show, because I only have one break, so I think there's about maybe 4 minutes of music, so we'll get in a little bit of it. But anyway, okay, so covering here for a second.
We're going to recycle this last hour for your... we're going to recycle this last hour for your Sunday show, and we can...
The first hour, we'll see. First or second, we'll see what happens.
Second hour, I'll probably recycle for my show.
Yeah, we'll work it out. It doesn't really matter. All right, so Patrick, the other thing we got in World War II was, of course, finally for the persecuted, long-suffering Jews, they have somewhere so they can be safe and secure in the State of Israel. Although, how's that worked out, you know? I don't think they feel too safe right there at the minute. They don't feel too safe in Ben Gurion Airport. What?
I was just going to say, they're Jews. Can they possibly ever feel safe anywhere? Because they're paranoid. This is really one of the basic problems. And I don't mean to be all racist and anti-Semitic and whatnot, but they have a tendency towards paranoia. They have a tendency towards ascribing perhaps their own... some of their own characteristics onto the other, right? Projection, is that what you call it? Freud was a Jew, knew all about this. So they project their own fear and loathing onto the other, and then act accordingly.
Mm. Well, they're not feeling too safe. And it's quite funny because, you know, the Houthis hit Ben Gurion Airport the other day, and then out of the blue, Trump announced that he had made a deal with the Houthis, that apparently the Houthis had capitulated, and they more or less rang Donald Trump and said, please don't bomb us anymore, please, we'll stop hitting your ships. And Donald was very gracious, and he said, we'll honor that. And they capitulated, basically. And the very next day, the capitulated Houthis hit the USS Truman again, or they tried to, and the USS Truman yet again tried to take maneuvering avoidance maneuvering operations, and another F-16 or whatever the jet is slid off. So that's two in a week now where they're taking avoidance action, and the these 60 million pound fighter jets slipped off and is now at the bottom of the Red Sea, yeah. Which apparently it's not the Red Sea. So I heard Trump the other day, it's a canal. Who knew?
Well, whatever. Yeah. Jimmy Dore tried to remind the American Navy that remember to put on the parking brake when you're not in the plane, so they don't.
I gotta find this where Trump calls the Red Sea a canal. It's just Donald, please. It's just like
I voted for Trump three times, so maybe I'm not the right person to say this, but you know, sometimes Trump's absolute ignorance is it sad? Is it funny? I don't know.
It's all of those things
on so many things. It should be embarrassing, but at least he's got an excuse.
Yeah, I was listening to him on that Dialogue Works. that very mild mannered chap who takes that show. He said to his guest, and was it Larry Johnson? Larry, why does he refer to the Red Sea as a canal? I don't know if I can find it, but anyway, so the Houthis, the very next day after capitulation, they basically hit the USS Truman, or tried to, got very close to it, I think, and then they lost another little ship with somebody who left the parking brake off the $60 million F-16 or whatever it was. And in response to this, apparently the Israelis didn't know about this, and they're not happy about it, and all is not well, apparently, between Trump and Netanyahu. Who knows how much of this is real? But Mike Huckabee, of all people, came out and said, the U.S. isn't required, and I quote, to get permission from Israel to make some kind of arrangements that would get the Houthis from firing on our ships. The U.S.'s actions against the Iran-backed Houthis' attacks on Israel depend on whether they harm U.S. citizens. You haven't heard this line. Well, this is all just theater. But you wouldn't expect, you know, Mike Huckabee. This is kind of an aberration, would you not say, in recent times for the U.S. and Israel?
Well, I mean, Mike Huckabee in particular has positioned himself as just the most shamelessly pro-Israel voice out of Washington. I mean, there's a lot of competition, but but he has been the front runner. Supposedly what you have is a revelation that Netanyahu had been conspiring with Mike Waltz, the national security advisor, conspired to do what? But conspired to get to drag the United States into a war with Iran, and a point that young Nick Fuentes was making is, you could say, okay, well, Mike Waltz got the boot. Well, did he get the boot? I mean, he's still in the government. He's still going to be the UN advisor, and so you can conspire with the foreign country of Israel to get the United States into a war that's not in its interest. And what happens? Well, maybe you get a minor demotion. That's not exactly a victory. That's not exactly symbolic of American sovereignty.
No, you just get moved somewhere like a checkered on a checkerboard. All right, here. Yeah, I got to play this. It's just, we got to have some of these Trump clips, right? Here we go.
Last night, the Houthis have announced that they are not, they've announced to us at least, that they don't want to fight anymore. They just don't want to fight. And we will honor that. And we will stop the bombings. And they have capitulated. But more importantly, we will take their word. They say they will not be blowing up ships anymore. And that's what the purpose of what we were doing. So that's just news. We just found out about that. So I think it's very, very positive. They were knocking out a lot of ships going, as you know, sailing beautifully down the various seas. It wasn't just the canal. It was out of other places.
Well, it wasn't just a canal. You know, another thing he said, actually, I think it was at the same White House. He was taking questions, and when he was talking about the new celebrations for World War II for America, he also talked about the Houthis. Someone asked him about the Houthis, and he did actually say, he said, you know, they put up a hell of a resistance. There's some tough cookies or something like that. You know, he was giving them praise. So, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, Trump's like, America's going to end up in the breadline here because we're losing so much money and bombing these people. And every time it's like, what's that game called? Whack-a-mole. Is it Whack-a-mole? Yeah. And so they keep bombing. Yeah. Some people estimate they've spent like, you know, $1 billion bombing these people. And for what? So, and that's why he's pulling out, because far from the, you know, the Ansar Allah capitulating, it's Trump and the Americans have capitulated because they're thinking, well, we just can't afford this, you know. It's like we're already short on certain weapons, and this is like a joke. Like I said, the very next day they caused the USS Truman to make a maneuver which lost another fighter jet. So it's Trump came in, Patrick, and it was all momentum. It's just, I was watching him the other day when he looks like he's tired. He looks like he should get some sleep, because it's like he came out of the blocks, you know, like full steam ahead. And now they've just hit, I don't know, they've hit some strong tides and they're just going nowhere. They're going round in circles. They haven't gone.
He's going to be 79 next month. So he's, you know, if he serves out his term, he'll be the oldest president ever. He's the oldest man ever elected to the office. So he'll if he serves out his term, he'll beat Joe Biden by about 6 months or so, as the oldest person ever to be in the White House. He's incredibly low info. He always has been. You know, he gets his information. He likes to get his information from TV news. Okay,
he doesn't like to get bogged down in detail.
Yeah, so he doesn't have a lot of details. He doesn't have a lot of news. And what else? He's got this very unique relationship with the truth, or with reality. And so he can say things with a straight face like they've capitulated, when by all appearances, it's quite the opposite. That they've agreed to stop attacking U.S. ships because the U.S. has agreed to stop bombing them, but they're going to continue to attack Israeli-bound vessels and to attack Israel. So it's hardly a capitulation. It's a positive development. I don't want to rag on Trump. It's a positive development if the United States is going to stop bombing Yemen. That's a good thing, and it's a positive development if there's a rupture in his personal relationship with Netanyahu. I'm sure there's a lot of resentment. Trump is a very petty person, and there's a lot of resentment of Netanyahu for being the first so-called world leader to congratulate Joe Biden on his fake election.
Yeah, and apparently with this whole waltz thing as well, Trump is he does have a resentment against Netanyahu for trying to manipulate him, basically, to get them to bomb Iran. So that's a good thing. And, you know, the Houthis, by the way, have confirmed this arrangement. He said, we've confirmed with the United States, basically, that, you know, we're not going to bomb their ships if they don't bomb us. But that's a separate thing from what we're going to do with Israel. And after Israel bombed
the International Airport.
Yeah. The Houthis have basically warned Israel that, they said, what's coming next, you're not going to be able to handle. And basically, the way they probably look at it is, you know, we won't even have to worry about the United States retaliating against us. It's just us and Israel now. And for Mike Huckabee to say that, because he said there's 700,000 U.S. citizens in Israel. And he said the U.S.'s actions against the Iran-backed Houthis attacks on Israel depend on whether they harm U.S. citizens. So in other words, as long as there's no U.S. citizens that are harmed, then it's nothing to do with us, you know? So,
but 700,000
dual citizens.
Yeah, they're dual citizens. Is it, what is it? It's like, is it 10% of, yeah, that would be like 10% of Israelis or Israeli Jews are dual citizens, but it's like 20% in the occupied West Bank.
Yeah.
The occupied West Bank is very heavily, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's more, but the data I have is 20% of the West Bank, but it, you know, the West Bank famously, there are a lot of Brooklyn Jews in the West Bank settler movement.
Mm. Maybe if they didn't have dual citizenship, they might not throw their weight around as much.
Well, you know, these, they wind up joining the IDF, these Jews. And once upon a time, I mean, I don't know exactly what the latest Supreme Court judgments are, but there had been a case in the 20th century where somebody had voted in a Mexican election and had their U.S. citizenship revoked simply for having voted in a foreign election and enlisting in a foreign army once upon a time would have revoked your citizenship. But it's very common. American Jews don't serve in the United States Army very much, but it's probably much more common for them to serve in the Israeli Army. I don't know if that's the case, but I wouldn't be surprised. It's pretty common.
If these people, pretty common, I'm sure. If these people don't get their way, you know, they know, they don't know a reverse gear, of course. Well, you know, they will escalate in another way. And I think one of their attempts to do this is this official final solution, ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians, which may well drag in Egypt. And there was a show of solidarity, an air display, a show of air power with the Chinese flying over Egypt. That would drag in Egypt. According to Douglas McGregor, he thinks Jordan would have to get involved or would get involved. But Egypt, that would then possibly involve China. And it would also involve Iran, according to McGregor, who knows about these things. So they could drag America in there in that kind of a way. I don't know. But I can't see it being tolerated. I think it would be a red line even for the impotent Arab states and Egypt to allow that to happen, because that's basically just, they're just saying, we're just going to move the, get rid of these people. But where are they going to go? See, that's why Egypt would come in. They're like, they're not coming here. And then that could literally start a world war. If you had Egypt and China involved and Iran came in, and then what's happening with Turkey and Syria, there's huge tensions between Turkey and Syria. And of course, In the backdrop of all this, the Indians and the Pakistanis are going at it, you know? That's not calming down. That's escalating.
Yeah. And does it need to be like this? Would you have... Well, the Indians and the Pakistanis, that's not necessarily directly a Jewish thing, but look at all this stuff in the Middle East. And this is because of, you know, Jewish machinations, this creation of the state of Israel, their paranoia, their need to dominate all their opponents, their ruthlessness. The world could be, I mean, the world would have problems. We would have problems, but there'd be a lot more, the problems wouldn't be as bad and would have, it would be a lot easier to cooperate if it wasn't for all these Jewish machinations and scheming. And I'm sorry to have to say that, but it's true.
It's absolutely right. In fact, there wouldn't be a World War II commemoration, D-Day or Victory Day or any of these days, because there wouldn't have been a World War II. Interestingly, well, this whole thing was more than about Victory Day for Trump as well. I think it was very much a statement. It was like a kind of a BRIC statement. It was like, here's the new world order without America hegemony. You had Xi Jinping there, of course. You had Maduro. Where's he from? Maduro, is he Venezuelan leader? Modi has got other concerns right now, where he needs to pay his attention. Well, you're the leader of Egypt.
Did he wind up not showing up? Did Modi not show up?
No, he didn't. It's a shame. You had the Serbian leader, Aleksandar Vučić, Robert Fico from Slovakia. The adorable leader wasn't there. He attended the Russian embassy in North Korea, but there were other.
The Kim family doesn't like to travel, and so they rarely fly. He did fly to Singapore to meet Trump. He flew to Vietnam to meet Trump. But in general, he really does. When he travels, it's by like armored train. And it's like a six-day voyage from Pyongyang by train. If you're going from Pyongyang, it's six and a half days to Moscow.
Yeah, Orban didn't go either. But of course, you know, the Queen of Europe and her sidekick, you know, Ursula von der Leyen and Kaya Kallas have been running around threatening everybody about going. In fact, believe it or not, the Lithuanian and Estonians closed off their airspace so that Slovakian leader and the Serbian leader Vučić and Robert Fico couldn't fly over Estonia and Lithuania. So they had to do
They're not even on the way. I guess though, if you don't want to fly over Ukraine, then yeah.
I mean the whole thing in the whole Europe.
You got to go around Ukraine. There's the Polish Belarusian border that you'd fly over, and then if you were to go past that, you'd be hitting Lithuania. Anyway, we are 20 minutes into this hour.
Yeah, we can take some calls, and I think I covered everything. I just wanted to cover what we wanted to cover. We can take some calls. Apparently, the main guy in this Pakistan situation is this chief of army staff, this general Asim Munir, and he's very up for a fight with India. He's an Islamic extremist guy, and apparently he's not backing down. Might even end up with a military coup in Pakistan or something, because apparently this guy is that sort of influential and powerful. You know? But I'm not really interested in. I couldn't care less about India and Pakistan. And particularly, I don't really care what happens to the Pakistanis after what Pakistani immigrants have done to our women, quite frankly. I know there's some good Pakistani people out there, but it's very difficult for me to use sympathy for Pakistan, really. So, and the way they treat Christians in that country, and it never gets talked about, but they treat Christians like dogs and animals in that country.
Okay. All right. Do we? I had heard Jay Hess. Is Jay Hess on the line?
Do we have any callers? Mike, are we off air? Mike, are we off air? Okay. No. Yeah, go to your call. Go ahead.
Hello? Hello?
Go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes, oh, okay. They elected the wrong American Pope. They should have elected Pope Donald I to make Rome great again. So it's anyway, this has been kind of a, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's been kind of an unusual week. I mean, especially yesterday, you had the Pope, the new Pope came out, and then you had Kanye West made that really weird Heil Hitler his thing came out, and then it was Victory over Europe Day or whatever it was, and this whole week has just been strange, that India and Pakistan thing going on, and I don't know. I just, the one thing, I've mentioned this before, but one thing really worries me about India and Pakistan is they're right next to China, both of them, and if something happens, you know, you don't know what weird alliance might come out of that. You know, this, you know, China got, might get, I don't know how you guys feel about that, but anyway, I just, but this has just been a weird, this seems like we're heading for something weird or something destructive in the very, very near future. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Well, I mean, there's a big risks. And we have the past 5 years of all sorts of giant hoaxes and you know, wars, corona apocalypse. So, yeah, there's a lot of, I feel a lot of trepidation. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, like I said, Trump should have been made Pope Donald the First, and he'd made the Vatican and the world great again. Just kidding.
But that's no, awesome. I agree with you as well. There's just too much tension building up. It's a pressure cooker, and it's like something's got to give. I think this thing could quite easily escalate. As I say, I heard Makuras talking about Pakistan and India yesterday, and he said, you know, I think this is going to. He wasn't concerned at all. But he was talking today. He was like, you know, he basically said, I have to say, I was totally wrong because this is escalating. And it's going up the escalation ladder quite quickly, it would seem, you know. These are both nuclear powers as well, it needs to be pointed out.
As is Israel.
As is Israel.
Well, have a good evening, everybody.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
All right, who's next?
Hijacker, and is it WA? Is that Washington or?
That's Washington State, yep.
State.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Washington State, Paul. Listen, whenever you're on, I make sure I catch you, Paul. There's something about your blunt force, basically blunt and bloody truth that you provide. I think it's part of the old Europe stock, where it comes from. But anyways, I always do appreciate you when you're on the air. But this is for your guest, Dr. Flattery. Yeah. Dr. Flattery, I know you're an intellectual, and you enjoy really good defined arguments. And I've had a lot of time to think about what took us down. I'm a baby boomer like you are, and I've come to the conclusion that it really was the baby boomers that really had the last opportunity, the last institutional power, what you would call the old world WASP network, that really could have stopped it. I really don't blame the Jews. I mean, lions do what lions do. Vultures do what vultures do, and Jews do what Jews do. What I blame is the baby boomers, and I've defined basically 10 major weapons which or situations which caused it, and I'll rip through them. It'll only take me 30 seconds. The first two are big weapons. In fact, the biggest weapons known to man, and that was the radio and, more importantly, the TV. We were like the first generation to be completely saturated with it. Then I think the next one, the third one, is the wealth, or the Bretton Woods Agreement. We got wealthy, money, the American dream. And so we kind of got drunk with the wine of wealth. And then, of course, the ones that you and I know real well, drugs. Oh, go ahead. We've got a break.
Yeah, I think we're coming up on the break at the bottom of the hour. So you'll have to hold on.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Wake up. Stop wasting your own time. Today, my friends, Americans are more pessimistic about the economy than they have been in a very long time. And it can be soul-crushing to work as hard as you possibly can, still not have enough money for all the bills. If you're feeling a tremendous amount of stress about your finances, you ain't alone. According to a recent survey, approximately half the entire population is struggling with mental health issues due to financial stress. 47% of adults say concerns about money have at least occasionally caused anxiety, stress, worrisome thoughts, loss of sleep, depression, or other effects. That according to Bankrate's latest money and mental health survey. Bankrate? Who in the hell is Bankrate? Call Kettle Moraine Limited today at 602-799-8214. 65% of the people say their biggest concern is inflation and rising prices, and nearly 60% say their stress derives from paying for everyday expenses such as groceries, utilities. 56% say they're worried about having enough emergency savings. 47% are most concerned about being in debt. I like the people that are worried about having enough emergency savings. That's another one of the reasons that you should have been buying gold and silver years ago. Stop worrying about what it's worth from day to day. It's up, it's down, it's inside out. You stop worrying about those things. You can call Kettle Moraine at 602-799-8214 for a private consultation. That's 602-799-8214. Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. Call Kettle Moraine Limited today at 602-799-8214.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Okay, we're back. Did we get no air? Are we on the air? Okay, and it was Hijacker. He was at number 4 on his list, I think. Where were you on your list?
Right, yeah.
Hijacker is still there, isn't he?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, yes, we hear you.
Can you? Okay, yeah. Yeah, I wanted to get your opinion, Dr. Flattery, because this really... I think I got it broke down, and I really do, like I say, blame basically the Christian, white male, American baby boomer elite. I'm not talking about the average baby boomer. I'm talking about the Mike Lindells and the Gary Havens and the people on the upper strata. But anyways, real quick, let me just zip right through them. So the first one was the radio. The second one was TV. The third one was wealth, the Bretton Woods Agreement, where the dollar reigns supreme. Basically, the wine of wealth got the baby boomers drunk. We all know it. We all made good money. Yeah. The fourth one was 1953, Lyndon Baines Johnson with the 501c3, where basically muzzled all of the pulpits, all of the churches, and of course the ones that you and I know real well, the fifth, sixth, and sex and rock and roll. We got hit with that, those weapons. And then one of the biggest ones was the eighth one, and that's the Christian Zionism. I mean, almost 300,000 pastors in this country are Christian Zionists. It's just, it's awful. It's like 50 million of us that are out there. I used to be one. Of course, I forgot JFK. That was a good bop. And then the final one, which I think was the knockout blow, was Gingrich and the contract with America, where they completely betrayed us. That was the death blow, to where people don't know it, but it was actually those Republicans, the last vestige of the American baby boomers, that really had the institutional power and the political power to be able to stop it. But they sold us out. China's most favored nation trading status, NASA. So am I kind of in the ballpark of your thinking with those 10 different situations or reasons or weapons? You think that's how we got taken down, Dr. Flattery? What happened? What happened?
Well, there's a lot that happened, and I think it's really hard to pinpoint it to this or that. I mean, there's a lot of things. You're looking at the baby boomers generation. Other people are, if you're looking at earlier generation, you're talking about the establishment of the Federal Reserve and the income tax and dragging America into World War One and things like that.
I'm talking about the last generation out of that list,
these are all things that came at baby boomers, not from baby boomers, with the possible exception of the last one on the list. I mean, the contract for America or contract on America, whatever it was. The Clinton, you know, the 1993 President Clinton, he's your first baby. He was young. He was your first baby boomer president. And, you know, that's about the time. Gingrich, is he a little bit older? Is he technically a baby boomer or not? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But
60 to 80 years old is baby boomers.
Baby boomers didn't really have, they weren't really running the show until, say, the Clinton administration. And of course, a lot of the people in the Clinton administration were older than him and weren't technically boomers. But I think you could make the case that pretty much the cake was already baked by the time the baby boomers had power. And baby boomers grew up in a without the benefit of having high-profile Jewry-wise voices like Father Coughlin or whatever. Really, the only person that you had who was a household name who spoke out publicly against Jewish power during the our formative years was David Duke
Buchanan.
And I was aware Duke of his too. Name, but yeah. I didn't know anything he was actually saying. I was just aware he was the KKK guy. At any rate, yeah, we got some other callers, but.
Well, let me just finish this real quick. Speaking of Duke, are you there? Speaking of Duke, you know he's got cancer, right?
Yeah.
So before he goes, it would be great if somebody like you would organize him, because I really do consider him one of the stalwarts. Is that maybe in the high mountains of North Carolina or Kentucky have some kind of a live pre-wake, other words, where we have a big get-together to celebrate David Duke's life before he does pass away.
He's not,
something
not
like
terminal
that.
At this point, where he's still doing his best. He's still fighting it. So
yeah, okay.
Thank you for your concern. Thanks.
Yes. Thank you. All right. Bye.
Okay. Who's next? Yeah.
Hey, Patrick.
Jay.
Well, we're still alive and well. You know, like Dr. Duke still like the Energizer Bunny, and Don Black's doing real well. So
I'm glad.
And, you know, we're celebrating 30 years of the anniversary of Stormfront Radio. We started out on WPBR, West Palm Beach AM radio, 30 years ago.
Well, it's a privilege to have been part of that. When you talk about it as 30 years, and I think I was involved for 4 years, that's a drop in the bucket. But yeah, it was a privilege and an education.
And you know what? When I go back over the archives, what's that?
Sorry. It was a white privilege. It was my white privilege to be involved.
Exactly. And, you know, when I go back over the archives, I mean, we were really right on the money with so many different, on all the various topics we talked about, and particularly I'm noting when it comes to the COVID-19 pandemic. I mean, we really were right ahead of the game on everything.
Yeah, pretty good track record. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be right all the time, but if you have a good track record and you're able to identify when you're wrong, like for instance with the COVID-19, I remember Dr. Duke calling in a few times with advice on frequent hand washing and check out women wearing or check out people at supermarkets wearing gloves. He was talking about that for like a week or two, but he was able to correct course. And if you have a good track record and you're able to correct course when you see that you're going off in the wrong direction, that's good enough. That's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would really estimate that we were probably 90 to 95% correct on everything we were talking about back then, particularly like the origins of COVID-19. Everybody was like wondering, was it, did it come from the wet market? Was it a lab leak? You know, and we were firmly stating like, this is more than likely a lab leak. You know, when you have like a deadly pandemic start,
lab accidental leak or intentional leak. I mean, my feeling is that it was developed in North Carolina at UNC Chapel Hill, and intentionally in Wuhan.
Yeah, and we now know that Fauci and the National Institute of Health and everything, they were all coordinating with this gain of function with the Chinese. But I just wanted to make the point, like, if you listen to the archives back at in real time back then, we were pretty much 90 to 95% correct.
Pretty good track record.
Yeah, and I was talking to Richard Carey about, with this 30th anniversary, we ought to do some retro show, like with Dr. Duke and Don Black, and myself and you. You know, that would be pretty nice.
I'd love to do something like that. Last summer, Dr. Duke and Don Black and I did a show, and that was fun.
Yeah, and the one thing I really wanted to comment on tonight, you know, because we've got this 80th anniversary of the defeat of Germany, is like, in my opinion, the greatest fatal mistake that Hitler made was not coordinating the war with Japan. Because when Hitler attacked east towards Russia, at that time Japan should have attacked from the east, and if that would have happened, they would have completely crushed the communist Soviet Union.
Now, that's what time machines were invented for.
Yeah, exactly. I'd love to go back in time and like tell the Japanese, like, this is the most crazy thing you could ever do. Like, if they would have just attacked the Soviet Union while Germany was attacking from the West, I mean, they would have crushed communism, sort of like the old Simpliades from the Jason and the Argonauts, the Clashing Rocks. It would have just crushed them. Anyway,
Okay. We have a few other callers. Do you have any other points you want to make?
No, just good talking with you again, and we'll have to do it again sometime soon.
Well, you can you can come on my show. I typically am not very proactive in going out and seeking guests. Not at all proactive, but yeah, I'll send you a message. We'll try to get together for something.
Well, you definitely need to get Don on with you.
Oh yeah,
and yeah, he's doing really well now. He's doing great. So anyway, I'll sign off and talk to you later.
Okay. Nice hearing from you, Jay.
All right, great, Patrick.
Okay, who's next? Who is? Sure, if it's okay. Yeah. Hey, Paul.
Hello, Patrick. Hey, just to touch upon what you two were talking about earlier. For one, Trump is a notorious valor thief or stealer of valor. He does it all the time. You know, he's totally prone to braggadocio. All right? You know, remember in Syria, he claimed America had defeated ISIS. But really, at that point, it was the Russians who came in who were, like, dealing with him quite well. So he always hypes up America, hypes up that his hotels are the best, hypes up that everything is the greatest that he does. It's just he's in autopilot for hype and hyperbole. So he, in a sense, it's very rude. I wish the Russians would call him out for his claims about World War II, you know. And I don't know if he wants to hold the parade in the United States on victories. When's the last military victory we really had?
Well,
right,
we had a big parade after the Gulf War, the Syrian army marching down Constitution Avenue, or was it Independence Avenue? Bush had a big parade in 1990. Was it? Would it have been 91 or early 92? But yeah, he had a big parade.
And how'd that work out? Right? He might have won the first Gulf War, but then shortly under Clinton, they were back to patrolling and bombing the Iraqis on occasion. You know, and baby Bush.
That's right. Bombing. Yeah, bomb a llama ding dong.
Yeah. And one other comment, you know, like I was hearing Paul lamenting about the decline of the West and the fall of the West. And what is the current population, non-white population, let's say in England now? It might be like 20%.
It's big. It's growing. And the thing is, you look at London, the maternity wards in London, and this is 5 or 6, 7 years ago, the only 22% of the babies were born to English mothers.
Yeah.
You know, that's London.
Right.
Yeah, it's London. I mean, England and the UK are not as far down the road as we are, but of course, we were never 100% of the population here because you always had at least a tenth of the population being black, and we're far along. They're trailing behind, but not too much behind. It's such a small country geographically compared to the United States and population wise, and immigration levels right now are just Paul, what is it? Or maybe it's Mark Collett who's telling me, but is it like a million a year or something? How sustainable is that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not exactly sure, but even as far back as the census taken in 2011, people who described themselves as white British were a minority in London, and that's only gotten worse, visibly worse. That's why I said, you know, from a demographic point of view, there's no point even trying to fight it at this point, because it's just overwhelming. It's like the damage is being done. I don't know how you reverse that. It just gets worse. By the way, all the major cities in England now, people are, minority here, white British. And then you talk about England, the UK being a small place. Try Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I mean, they got the immigration problem much later than the UK, but the population is so small. It didn't take the damage got done very, very quickly because the population is so small. But,
But Paul, I just find the fatalism of it that you're talking about, like you're already defeated in your own mind, and I just don't like that. You know, to me,
if you walk up my street, I mean, all I'm saying is, you know, I don't really know at this point how it's reversed. You know, I'm only trying to be realistic.
I'll tell you. All right. Go out and do you have money? Do you have money to leave your children?
No, I don't.
Do you have money to leave your children? You have money to leave your children?
No, I don't have money. I don't have money at all.
Well, one way to do it is try to promote families among white couples. If you have nephews or nieces, when you're near your deathbed, make sure urge them to marry young. And if they have children, start giving the money to the young people to have larger families. All right? We have to be ambassadors to promote the white race. And I just don't like your fatalism, Paul. Even though there's an element of truth, there's reality.
But it's not as if Paul has rolled over. You know, he's speaks very clearly about Jewish power, and Jewish power is the underlying cause of this. But the idea, it's like children just do what you tell them to? You know, you're on your deathbed. Hey, do this.
For example, I did say something like that to my sister. What did my sister say? She's completely brainwashed. She called me racist and said she doesn't want someone like me in her life. My mother is the same. Around where I live, I see white grandmothers with their little mixed race Afro headed grandchildren, and I see it all the time around here. White women with black guys, all the time. An Indian man with Ukrainian women. All these Ukrainians who are poor and desperate. Well, they get with the Indian guys who've got some money and some clout here. You know, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like I was talking to Richard yesterday. It's like London is like when you go to Heathrow Airport, it's like it doesn't stop. It's like the biggest airport in the world. It's called London. It's like you don't ever get to London. It's, you know, when you're in an airport, you're like, okay, we've got all these people here because it's an airport. But London's just like that.
I
think there's a big difference between somebody who just throws up their hands and says, oh, well, I give up. And somebody who says, I don't know how we're going to solve this, but it is a person who continues to struggle, right? Because Paul is fighting. Paul's a fighter, and it's a realistic statement to say, I don't know how we're going to reverse this. That's a realistic statement.
Well, yeah, I mean, but
the answer is white nationalism. White nationalism as actually basically Hitlerian style of promoting a goal. Of restoring our white
Paul,
hands. Paul, it's very inspirational.
At this point, for example, you know, it would be actually an improvement at this point to have Nigel Farage become our prime minister. And he he's not going to do anything. You're going to be talking about another 5 or 10 years of mass immigration. There comes a point when the country can't tolerate it. There comes a point where, and I'm not on my own. I know guys who, you know, I know all the Patriotic Alternative guys. I've given a speech of Patriotic Alternative, Mark Collett, promoting white interests. And I know a lot of the guys even there, they're very, you know, black-pilled at this point because it's just you can't allow this amount of immigration coming into the country and it not to, you know, it just becomes irrevocable. I don't know how to solve it at this point. You know, it's just too much.
Okay. Hey, we've got like maybe two or three more people who wanted to weigh in and only 2 or 3 minutes. Shall we go on to the next person? Joe in Florida.
Hey, it's Joe from Florida. Patrick and Paul, happy Victory Day.
Oh, happy.
You guys are in a sour mood tonight, or at least you are, Patrick. Anyway, good to hear you, Paul, also. Hey, listen, I wanted to I give you my take on this Trump thing, because I guess now it's like, what is it, the honeymoon is over? Even some of his strongest supporters are like, what happened? Here's my thing. So he ran, right, on as a peace candidate, right, anti-war candidate. That's why I voted for him again, okay? And I'm convinced now that the Jews that surround him, okay, we know this is the problem. By the way, Colonel McGregor rightfully called out Howard Lutnick, okay, as one of the big mockers. And then Jared Kushner. Oh, what a shock. You know, wasn't there a big performance about, oh, he's not having any part of it? He's the Jew behind it all. Okay, he's a very diabolical Jew who wants to start World War III. I mean, he's Netanyahu's best friend. But my point is this. When Trump ran on an anti-war platform, this was a problem for the Jews, but they finally figured out how to deal with it. How do they do that? If you sell ceasefire or treaties to Trump, then, you know, Mr. Ego, he talks about making a ceasefire. And there's no rational connection to what he's talking about. Even with Ukraine and Russia, okay, how is it that he's going to be the referee, the impartial coordinator, when we're giving millions of dollars to the Jewish war criminal Zelensky still? And the other part of it is, like, that's what I think he's saying, this story about, oh, he's fallen out with Netanyahu. Look, the fact is, and also the Houthis, right? So there's a ceasefire with the Houthis? What's he talking about, okay? That's so that when they fire again, which they have sworn they will, to stop the genocide from happening, then Trump will be able to say, "Oh, they broke the deal. They broke the deal." It's very disheartening. It's such a simplistic thing, but I think the Jews around him have figured out how to sell these wars to him. All you got to do is make him the center of the attention. And, oh, he's being betrayed. He doesn't want to be led into war by Bibi. He wants to make it his own war. As infantile and as sick as that is, what do you think?
And thank you for calling in. Thank you, Patrick, for taking the time to join us. And back again Monday with Richard Show.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full 1-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion activated at furion.com. That's furion.com. That's furion.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.